you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
The views expressed here within the programs and chats do not necessarily represent the views of liveparanormal.com.
You're listening to Live Paranormal Radio at liveparanormal.com.
I'd like to give a big thank you to liveparanormal.com. You can go on there and check out all kinds of radio shows. They have everything you can imagine, so take a look at it. But tonight we have Shriekfest Radio. I am Denise Gossett, the festival founder and director, and I am hosting tonight's Shriekfest Radio. We have special guest David Barron. He's a screenwriter. We'll be calling him in a little while. First, I would like to talk about how we are currently in our 13th year, and we have open call for entries, which means we are accepting submissions in the horror, thriller, sci-fi, and fantasy genres. That would be feature films and short films, feature screenplays and short scripts, and original songs. So if you have something that you think might fit the bill, go to www.shriekfest.com and look for the entry form and get it in. We would love to see it. The festival this year is going to be October 3rd through the 6th. We hold it in Hollywood at Raleigh Studios. Great studio, one of the first ones actually. And we have a wonderful screening room there, and we hold the festival, and we have parties and Q&As and all those good things. And the festival ends with an award show. So it's a lot of fun. If you've never heard of us, check out our website. We're also on Facebook, Shriekfest, and Twitter, Shriekfest. Come and say hello. We'd love to hear from you. All right, let's put in a call to David Barron tonight. See if we can get him on the line. So David won Best Horror Feature Screenplay in 2012 for Nevermore. So we're going to talk to him a little bit about that tonight.
Hi, this is David.
Hi, David. It's Denise Gossett from Shriekfest Radio. How are you?
Great. How are you doing, Denise?
I am good. It's so good to hear your voice. It's been a while.
Yes, it has. It's always good news when I'm talking to you, though. So.
Well, that's nice. Thank you. All right. So I've just told the audience that you won the Best Horror Feature Screenplay in 2012 for Nevermore. Would you like to talk to us about that for a little bit?
Sure. I'll first start off by saying Shriekfest, it was just totally amazing. My brother and I attended the opening night party, and that was really great. We got to mingle with people and met so many fantastic people that were just, everyone there, everyone was great. is all I can say.
It's always a fun time, that's for sure.
And you were especially a gracious hostess. And I have to say out there, if there's anyone that has any doubts at all about your acting abilities in any way, that I had no idea that I had won because you had such a great poker face on the whole weekend. And so to me, you get the Oscar for that because I was completely clueless. So that acting job was beyond mention. It was wonderful. And so Shriekfest was really a lot of fun, and I had entered a screenplay that I wrote called Nevermore that is the main gist of it is it's about the Poe toaster. And the log line is that when a grad student and her friends disrupt the mysterious Poe toaster's ritual, which happens at Edgar Allan Poe's grave, they are cursed, and then horrifying scenarios from Poe's stories terrorize them. And they, and she, the main character, is struggling for her sanity, and she's not sure about reality and the things that are happening to her and her friends. And so she now has to find the Poe toaster and try and break this curse.
It's so awesome. I really enjoyed reading your script, and I cannot wait till it's an actual, you know, film and we can all see it, because, you know, there's tons of Poe fans out there, and I think they'll all really, really enjoy it. How long did it take you to write your screenplay from conception to final completion?
Well, I originally had the idea from an airplane ride that I took, where I was reading a story in one of those airplane magazines about the Poe toaster, who does exist in Baltimore. And this was back when the Poe toaster was still performing this ritual, as he does in real life, or he did until about 4 years ago. So this was over 10 years ago when I first had the idea, and I knew it was a good one, and so I would start and stop with it. The script has gone through many different versions, and I just stuck with it because, like I said, this idea was too good to let go. And since the last few years, the Poe toaster has actually not been performing this ritual at Edgar Allan Poe's grave with the roses and cognac. So I think it's time for his story to be told on the big screen.
Wow. Yes, exactly. So that is where your inspiration came from then?
It did. I was reading, it was an airplane article in the magazine, and it was all about in Baltimore, and it was one of those things where here are the local things you can do. And, by the way, yeah, every year on January 19th, Edgar Allan Poe's birthday, there's this unknown visitor who's a mystery who visits his grave and does this.
That is crazy.
It's so amazing. And I called the curator there, a man named Jeff Jerome. This was years ago. And I asked him all kinds of questions about the Poe toaster. And, of course, he does not know who he is.
Wow.
Yes. I guess he has signs that he gives to the curator to authenticate himself, from what I hear.
Wow. Have you seen the new TV show that's on right now about Poe?
The Following.
Yeah.
I have seen it.
And what do you think?
You know, I think any time there's Poe stuff out there, it's good. And Kevin Bacon does a great job.
Yeah.
I watched the first two episodes, and from what I've heard, it keeps getting better, so I'm going to stick with it. But I think, too, that the whole Poe sort of canon is big enough where there's room enough for my type of script or the period piece that came out last year, The Raven, was about Edgar Allan Poe, too, but it's public domain, so it's fair game.
Yeah. Now, have you always been interested in Poe, or is this a new fascination?
I think I have. I think it's one of those things. It's kind of like when I was 8 years old, I was really into King Kong, and I remember seeing the movie and then just being so into it, buying models of King Kong, getting posters, reading all the books, and I think it's the same sort of maybe juvenile mind thing with Edgar Allan Poe. I mean, I think we all know the Telltale Heart, and he's such an amazing writer too. I mean, few people realize he wrote wonderful poetry. He was a major critic of his time.
Right.
And so a lot of people just know him for his sort of scarier stuff, but he's, I think, in the top five American writers, I would say.
Yeah, you know, and in school, they expose us to a little bit of him, but he has so many.
Right. Yeah, he's really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And one story that I always tell that has to do with Poe is he published a novel called in 1838. It's the narrative of Arthur Gordon Pym.
Mm-hmm.
And basically it's a story of a ship crew that wrecks, and then they're trying to survive. They don't have food or water, and they draw straws, and because they're trying to decide, they're going to sacrifice one of them. And a sailor named Richard Parker selects the wrong straw. And so, they stab him to death. And this is the Poe story. And then 45 years later, in real life, a British yacht sunk, and there were survivors, and they considered drawing straws, but then they just decided to kill this guy who was on the ship and drink his blood. And the man who they killed was named Richard Parker. It's this phenomenal.
Wow.
I mean, how do you explain that? Yeah.
No.
And so, 45 years before the event happened, and you can look all this stuff up in British newspapers and stuff like that. And there's actually another tie-in, this movie that's out now, Life of Pi.
Yeah, which I have not seen. I've heard it's amazing.
Right, and I read the book years ago, but the tiger in Life of Pi is named Richard Parker.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I have to figure that the writer named it after knowing this Edgar Allan Poe bizarre, just uncanny thing, and how how do you explain something like that? The scenarios are so similar.
Yeah, that's not a coincidence. Wow.
Right. So it's stuff like that about Poe where you just, he's mind-blowing, and you just keep being amazed.
Well, yeah, and, you know, and so many people you can read into so many little things. I think that's what's amazing about him is, you know, you can kind of, everybody kind of sees things a little bit differently on what he does and what he wrote, and I think that's the really cool thing about it is you can kind of put your own self into his works.
Right, exactly. The subjectivity of it is amazing.
Yeah. Is this the first script you've written that had to deal with him?
It is, but I will say that since I probably rewrote it at least 5 or 6 times, and kind of they're totally different versions, that it was the first one, but there's many others that I've written about Poe, and hopefully hopefully there'll be a sequel at some point too.
Oh wow, that would be cool. Now, do you currently have any attachments or a cast wish list?
You know, I don't right now, and I just really want to get people behind it and championing it and just have people that are excited about the story and the script. It's mainly, as you know, it's mainly 20-somethings. The main character's about a 25-year-old woman,
mm-hmm.
and I don't have – a wish list right now. I just am trying to get the script out in front of as many eyes as possible, and just sort of while the Poe toaster is still alive in people's minds, I would love people to check it out.
Right. Now, when you're writing, do you picture anyone in your head for these roles, or is it just a completely blank slate and you make it all up?
You know, I think I do. It is a completely blank slate, because sometimes I've done that where I have written with certain people in mind, and I mm-hmm. found that that could be limiting in a way.
Right.
And sometimes it's good, but in certain instances where I have been specific and had that vision in my mind, I felt that it was too confining. And so with this, I did not do that.
Wow. And so I imagine you probably don't have a wish list for a director at this point either. You just want to get it out there.
I don't, but there's tons of great directors. I think also there are a lot of directors that kind of understand these days, as far as horror goes and the genre, that what I'm kind of mixing sensibility-wise is there's Edgar Allan Poe, who was living in the 19th century, and there's some of that feel in there, but also, you know, people have cell phones, and
right.
they have modern day sort of things. And I really want to kind of mash all that up. And I call it, they're steampunk. So I've started to call it screampunk.
There you go.
Yeah. And just, so there are directors out there that I think understand and can appreciate this, that, you know, you can mix everything together in a way that works.
Right. I actually know several directors who would probably love to run with this, but if we can get the money together somehow, you know?
Yes, absolutely. I in my mind, I think the budget, I would say maybe around $5 or $6 million, but that's pure wish list. I mean, whoever has a proposal and can put something together and make it work,
right.
You know, I'm talking to people, too, and trying to figure out the best way to go about it.
That's great. Well, I wish you the best of luck, and if I hear of anything, trust me, I will send it your way.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. So you had mentioned you had 5 rewrites?
I would say at least 5 rewrites. It just went through different iterations, and I think it really came together with this last one. I had different writers groups that I was in, mm-hmm. and those were really helpful. And I have a great network of friends and just a support system and other screenwriters. My brother was really helpful. He and I usually write together, but this was a kind of a solo project for me. But it really was a community effort in a lot of ways. People just, I think they recognized that there was something there with the story, and a lot of times it's easier to give suggestions knowing that.
Right, right. So what made you write this one on your own and not with your brother?
Well, I think that at the time we were writing comedies, and we also have written horror stuff as well. This one really was personal for me. And it's like you were just saying, I just wanted to take it and run with it. And when I originally started writing it, I was writing a lot very early in the morning, right when I woke up, and kind of capturing that window that's open between sort of the dream state or sleeping and waking. And I really love that. And even though it's gone through so many different versions, hopefully it retains some of that feel.
Right, right. Now, do you keep your earlier drafts?
I do.
And do you
but
go back
believe
and
me,
look
you
at
don't,
them?
No, you don't ever want to see these. These are, yeah, no, you never want to see any of these drafts. No.
So let's say the movie's made, everyone's seeing it. Would you now look back at your first draft just out of curiosity, or do you never look at them?
I would say maybe out of curiosity.
Yeah.
When it gets made, yes. We'll throw that on the DVD with the extras, with all the the terrible versions that no one needs to see where, yeah.
Oh, that's funny. So, wow. Okay. So it's that much different, huh?
It really has changed. I think in the beginning, the very first version I had of it was featured. One of the things that happened was there were long stories that were told, and it was also, if I remember correctly, it was in different time periods, so it was really confusing. It didn't go through like a serial killer draft ever, but, you know, I'm sure given enough time, I would have gone through a serial killer version too.
Right.
You know, so, and I would have turned it into, you know, probably an animated movie and a family drama and a rom-com.
Now your brother, when he read it, what did he think? Did he like it? Did he want to be involved? Did he want to put his two cents in?
I think that he liked it, and I think that he definitely did put his two cents in and gave me a lot of good guidance and ideas, and I think this last version was really the one where everyone held my feet to the fire, and I just knew that it had to be that much better. And it's great that Shriekfest and you guys recognized all the work that I put in.
Yeah, well, it's definitely one of my favorites through the years. I really, really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Let's see. So you and your brother have been writing all sorts of genres. How many screenplays would you say you have written?
At this point, I would say about a dozen.
Whoa. That's really, really great, David, because, you know, when you start talking to people, the very first question out of their mouth is, what else do you have?
Right.
You know,
yeah,
and a lot of people sit where they're like, well, I'm working on something, but you already have a bunch.
Yeah, I mean, writing, it's what I do, and, you know, I just live and dream it, and I'm just going to keep plugging away. I mean, it's all I can do. And, I mean, Shriekfest gave me a lot of great traction, and, you know, in talking to people, all I know that I can do is just keep writing. I mean, that's my focus.
Right. Do you write on a daily basis?
Yes.
Okay, talk to us a little bit about your day and how you go about as a writer.
I am a slave to the demon caffeine, and I definitely wake up in the morning and drink a lot of coffee and start writing.
Wow.
And try to do that pretty much every day, and then if I have time in the evening, I will write as well.
Wow. So do you set like a timer? Do you give yourself I need 10 pages today, or do you just write and see what happens?
I just write and see what happens. It's I mean, there's nothing better than deadlines. I think deadlines are great. But I just plow through, and a lot of time is spent in development and kind of figuring things out. And then once I have things figured out, the writing goes fairly quickly. But until you figure things out, it takes some time.
So do you, like, outline things before you start writing, or do you just write?
You know, I've done both, and yeah. This current one of the projects that I'm working on now, I'm going to really hold myself to outlining it first,
mm-hmm.
and then see how that goes. And so I'm very interested in the results. and to see if it makes it go quicker. But I've found outlines to be sometimes confining, but at other times they're great. So I've done both.
Well, yeah, I would imagine if it's like a really detailed project with lots of characters, you would have to have some sort of outline or some board with all the characters on it, because how do you keep them all straight if you're just writing and writing and writing?
Right, especially if you're writing a few different things at once. It gets confusing.
Oh, yeah, true, true. Well, I've always heard to just write. Don't edit in your head. Just write. Get it out on paper. Just write. And then you can go back and edit. Whereas too many people, they're editing in their head and they're stopping and they're starting. Just do it. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I think that's, I mean, it's sort of a muscle memory type thing too. The more you write, the more you kind of use those muscles, the better the easier it's going to come in a way.
Right.
And a lot of times just to write something, even if it's awful, which I certainly do, and I don't think there's anything wrong with going down a wrong road or writing a scene that does not work, that you figure out later does not work, because you can learn from that, and there's always something kind of in there that you can draw on, I think.
Right. Huh. And do you just want to write screenplays? Have you ever thought of writing TV?
I would love to write TV.
I've
written so many different things. I used to write radio dramas, and I loved writing those. I wrote some horror radio dramas, and that was a wonderful thing to do, and I've written a lot of short stories as well, but TV would be great too. I mean, TV seems to be where it's at writing-wise in terms of getting work these days, because the spec scripts are not what they once were. But I just have so many ideas that I want to write about and scripts that I want to get out there that any format would be great.
Wow. Now, do you have any tips for screenwriters out there who are struggling? You know, sometimes we'll get a script submitted, and as you're reading it, all the characters sound the same. Like, they may even speak similar, you know, things like that, and they're just not standing apart enough. Do you have any tips for that sort of thing?
You know, I think that one of the functions of that is that I've definitely written screenplays like that, and I think that's something that you go through earlier on, and so that's fine to do and get that out of your system. Go ahead and write that script where all the characters are basically you or sound like you.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but in terms of then I just think you'll grow, and you'll get the criticism from people. Writers groups are great for that, and people will point out to you. And getting into characters' minds and thinking from their mindset, I mean, there are a lot of interesting ways to do it. You can look at your antagonist or your villain and figure out from their point of view, you know, what do they want? I mean, everyone has competing desires and their sort of dreams that they're holding on to. And when they come into direct conflict, that's when you're going to have tension and drama. And so just jumping into the shoes of different characters. And I love the idea of characters, kind of lesser characters, upstaging the main character in a scene too, or at least trying to. And I mean, you could definitely identify with that as an actor.
Right.
I'm sure you've been in scenes where, you know, the way it is everyone's just trying to upstage everyone in a way.
Right. Well, and even in real life that happens.
Sure. And I don't think there's anything wrong with trying to make your sort of lesser characters more, and just making everyone more interesting and more entertaining and engaging.
Yeah. What do you do, let's say you wake up one day and you're just blocked. You just can't do it. Do you have any tips, secrets for to get yourself unblocked?
Take a long shower.
Does that help?
You know, I get good ideas in the shower and driving.
Yeah.
So I think, but it's okay. If nothing's coming, that's fine too. I love the idea of just thinking about a script and trying to figure out different ideas and ways to make things work. It's like this puzzle, this that you're constantly turning the pieces and trying to make work. And so I love the fact that I can, you know, think about something when I'm not even writing. And sometimes it just go do something else, and that's fine. I don't believe in beating yourself up. There's too many other people out there that are going to beat you up.
So, that is
right?
So true. Yeah.
Right? So we're all punching bags here. I mean, I don't, you know, you're an actor. I can't even imagine going to an audition or to a cattle call or whatever they, you know, and so we're, as writers, I think we're at the back of the bus, and especially horror writers, we're, you know, we're back by the exhaust pipe of the bus, I think. So
right.
But that's okay. We love it back here, and we're gonna make it work. We're gonna keep going.
Good. Now, okay. So, when did you know you wanted to be a writer?
I think I just always knew when I was younger, I would make up stories and kind of my brother and I would make up plays that we would perform with
Aww.
My cousins and things like this. You know, if you're on vacation and you're making up a little play that you're, of course, most of it is stuff that you didn't exactly make up, but.
Right, right.
But I just kind of always knew it was always something that I just loved to do and I still love.
So did were you ever bitten by the acting bug?
I don't think so. I think I'm not a good actor. My my brother is a good actor, and he went to a performing arts school.
Oh,
and
wow.
In fact, we kind of wrote a script about that. And so I was never bitten by the acting bug, though. That's one bug that did not get me.
Now, is there a role in Nevermore for your brother? Should it, when it makes it to the movie?
Sure. There's a role for him. There's a role for you. There's a role for everyone in that script. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome.
I think that, We'll just see. I mean, the main character, everything sort of comes after the main character who would be cast, which is, like I said, a woman named Lena. And that was interesting, too, because you had, you ran an article, and I remember you made a comment at Shriekfest that you were kind of lamenting the fact that it was so male-dominated and there were so many, you know, on stage was a bunch of guys. And so I really, and I agree with that. I think you posted that article. It was called Sidestepping the Sausage Fest.
Oh, right.
And it was great. And I agree with that sentiment. I think that there need to be more women characters and more heroines. And so I'm working on that. And Nevermore is one of the screenplays where I've championed that.
Yes, and it's wonderful. You know, and when there are women roles, you know, some men just have trouble writing for women roles, which is understandable. And some women like you have it down. You know what you're doing. You can make these well-rounded characters, and it's exciting.
You.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, I don't know if I have it down, but I think that I want to get better at it, so I'm going to keep trying to do it.
Wonderful. Have you always been a horror fan, or is this something new?
I think I have. I think that I just remember loving scary movies when I was younger, The Wolfman and all those movies, and just loving the feeling. I think there's a feeling in horror movies where I heard someone say, you know, when we're really scared, it's like we feel more alive.
It's true.
And it is for me.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, it's the kind of like the same thing when you see a car accident. You know, you're very curious and you just can't stop looking. Not that you want someone to be hurt or anything like that, but it's just curiosity. And horror allows us to experience a lot of those feelings and fear and know that it's safe because it's not real.
Exactly. I totally agree. And it's strange because there are certainly a fair share of horrifying real life scenarios that happen.
Yeah.
And these petrify me. That's not my thing. I want to go to the movies and experience this.
Exactly. No one wants the real deal. So
right.
Can you think of your first horror film that left an impression on you?
I would say, you know, there's a movie, I think I want to say it's called Black Sunday, but I don't think that's right. But it was basically a horror movie that it centered around a ring and an old woman. And I remember a scene where this old woman came out and there were kind of flashing lights, sort of like strobe lights. And what it was someone had taken this ring from this woman after she had died, and then she sort of reappeared, and it terrified me. I want to say it was Black Sunday, but I'm not sure. I think it was part of a trilogy, an anthology movie.
Ah. Huh. And you're not talking about The Ring?
No. This was made back, I want to say, in the 60s or maybe 70s. And it was, I remember just being like 5 or 6 years old and seeing this and just being terrified.
Well, yeah. You know what would be interesting is to see it now and see what you would think of it now. Would it still be terrifying, or would you be like, what the heck? Why was I scared of this? You know, because as a five-year-old.
Yeah, actually, I think I was more like 9 or 10. I don't think I was quite that young, but I have seen the movie since, and it's terrifying. Yeah, I think the whole thing, you know, grandmotherly woman who's supposed to be, well, grandmotherly and nice, and that we associate with everything great, and then just to have that be sort of, it was just terrifying. Hi, Denise.
Okay. Okay, my goodness, I don't know what happened there. We had a little bit of difficulty. Let me see if I can get David back on the line. Wow, never had that happen before. Eek. Sorry about that, guys.
Hi, Denise. Sorry about that.
Oh, I don't know what happened. So bizarre. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. We're back.
Okay, we're back. We're back, everybody. So sorry about that. Okay, we were talking about that scary old woman.
Yes, and one of the scripts that I wrote has sort of to do with that, and it's a horror story. And so that's one that I wrote with my brother. It's called Silverfish.
Oh. Wow. And have you been getting that out to festivals or competitions at all?
Not yet. I think we're going to retool it a little bit and then hopefully get it to you.
Ah, awesome. I'd love to read it. Do you, as a screenwriter, do you like doing the competition festival circuit? Is it just like a necessary evil? Talk a little bit about that.
I used to go to a lot of Fangoria conventions, and I got to see the Blair Witch Project before anyone else did at a Fango convention. I love it. I'm a fan. I Shriekfest was so much fun for me. And
oh, good.
Meeting people, and then you were great about, you know, saying, hey, you should go talk to these people, or these people might want to interview you. And I just loved every minute of it. I think the whole thing was so cool, and how you had us make up posters for our scripts before their movies, and everything was just, so I'm a fan as well. And I can't get enough of meeting people. I've met a lot of really cool people. George Romero, the director, Night of the Living Dead, I met him at a Fango convention years ago. Just really great people like that. And people in the genre have always been just so warm and welcoming.
It's so true. And they are the most loyal fans you will ever find.
Yeah, and I'm one of them. So I don't think you're going to have to, like, change the locks on Shriekfest. You're not going to get me out of that place anytime soon.
Yay! I'm so happy to hear that. Welcome to the family, David.
Oh, thank you. No, I really loved it, though. It was such a great time, and, the award ceremony was so much fun, and so it was wonderful.
Oh, good. Oh, well, that makes me very happy to hear that. Because, you know, you put all this effort in, and then you don't really know what people are thinking, and you hope everyone's having a good time. And so that's really nice to hear.
Yeah, it was great.
Thank you. Before we run out of time, what are you currently writing something right now? What are you working on right now?
Right now, I'm writing a couple different things. I'm finishing up a romantic comedy. That I wrote with my brother, and it's kind of centers around the LA improv scene and how men can't commit.
Oh, that's funny.
So that one's almost done, and then I'm sort of developing another one that I told you when I was younger I was really into King Kong, as mm-hmm. most young boys are, I think. And girls, mm-hmm. and I think that I also remember really being into disaster movies, the Towering Inferno and the Poseidon Adventure, and mm-hmm. I mean, of course, not too long ago, the Titanic was that's a disaster movie. So,
yeah.
But I'm kind of working. One of the projects I'm developing now is sort of my love letter to disaster movies. And it's not a disaster movie itself, but they figure very strongly into the premise of this. And hopefully that one will sort of take to the air pretty soon.
Wow, that's very exciting. Do you have any websites you would like to promote? Are you on Facebook or Twitter or anything like that that everyone should know about?
Yes, I've just got really more involved with Twitter, and my handle is at BarrenMind, which is my last name, BERANMIND. So it sounds like BarrenMind. And I'm not too active on Facebook yet. I've just found that to be kind of a time sink, but I'll get there.
Yes, it's very, you know, it does drain you of time, but it is so important, especially in this industry, because you can get the word out about things so quickly, and I think it is so necessary.
Yeah, I'm at the Shriekfest Facebook page a lot and checking you guys out.
Well, thank you. I just made sure we were following you on Twitter, and we are.
And I'm following you as well.
Yay, thank you. And do you have a website that you and your brother use for your writing, or not yet?
You know, not yet. We don't. But that will all come in time, and that will be on Twitter, and so that's still evolving right now.
Wonderful. And so if someone were to approach you and say, should I submit to Shriekfest, what would you say to them?
I would say absolutely. Shriekfest is, it's the experience of submitting and the whole way through the whole process that, it was just great. I mean, the whole thing. I think Shriekfest, the films there themselves that I saw, the screenings were really good, the shorts and the features that I checked out. And, you know, you guys got back to me, and whether you win or place or show or whatever, that doesn't matter. The important thing is just to enter. I mean, the only person that doesn't win is the person that doesn't enter, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, thank you. Thank you, thank you. And I want to tell everyone to keep an eye out for David Barron, especially the screenplay Nevermore, because it is awesome. And if you're an Edgar Allan Poe fan, you will really dig this story. And I have to thank you, David. This has been wonderful, and it's been so nice to, because I know at the festival we would chat here and there, but I never really get to know you, and now I feel like I got to know you, which is wonderful. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, and you got my holiday card too, so
yes.
I think.
Yes.
So,
gave me a good
laugh.
That's
good.
Thank you so much. Is there anything
Denise.
You would like to say before we get off?
I don't think so. Just follow me on Twitter, and if you have questions, I can also be emailed at davidabarran, BERAN, @gmail.com. And I'm looking to get the script out there to as many people as possible. I'm talking to people. Haven't quite found the right fit yet, but it's going to happen.
It will. Yeah, it will definitely happen. And, you know, like I said, when I get people searching for scripts, I will definitely send them your way, because I believe in it, and I know others will too. So it's just a matter of time.
Okay, and thank you. And Shriekfest rules, get your scripts in.
Thank you, David. All right, you have a great night.
You too. Right on.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.